Welcome to SwampSwami.com, sports commentary and more. And today it's Sweep the Swampcast for Friday, April 5th, 2019. Today is our weekly show where we cover some of the stories that we didn't have enough time to get to earlier this week. It's the Final Four weekend. For both the men and women's basketball, a new national champion will be crowned by the end of the day on Monday. On Friday night, the ladies take center stage in Tampa Bay, with overall number one seed Baylor taking on number two Oregon at 5 o'clock Central on ESPN. And the late game Friday night is another number one seed Notre Dame taking on perennial challenger and two-seeded University of Connecticut Huskies. If these four teams sound a little familiar to you, it's because they are. Other than in 2017, when South Carolina defeated Mississippi State, one of this year's Final Four basketball teams has played in the national championship game every single year since 2009. Baylor this year is the only undefeated team in the field, either men's or women's, this year. On Saturday night, the men's Final Four takes place in Minneapolis. The Final Four teams are not necessarily the same teams that most people picked for this weekend. Virginia remains the last overall number one seed still playing. Then there's still number two seed in Michigan State, a number three in Texas Tech, and a number five seed in the surprising Auburn Tigers, winners of 12 in a row coming in, and their biggest supporter, Charles Barkley, on the CBS broadcast. He's been fun to watch. Unlike the women's field, three of these four men's teams have never won a national championship in basketball. Only Michigan State, which has done it twice, is the lone men's title holder, but their last championship came way back in 2000. The men's finals will begin on Saturday at around 5 o'clock Central Time, with Virginia's number one defensive-rated squad taking on the three-point shooters from Auburn University. In the second game, it'll pit Michigan State against Texas Tech. In that second game, I think the first team to reach 70 points, maybe even 60, will win that game. On Thursday night, happened to come across an NCAA college three-point shooting contest that was going on in Minneapolis prior to the Final Four this weekend. A young lady from Central Michigan University named Presley Hudson won the women's contest, and then she took on the men's three-point shooting champion from Loyola Chicago, a guy named Clayton Custer. Well, the 5'6" Hudson destroyed the men's champion in the final by a 25-15 count. For the night, Presley Hudson, the lady, made 77 out of 103-point shot attempts. That is amazing, and she now holds the overall record for three-pointers made, men's or women's, in the history of the three-point shooting event. Congratulations. Also on Thursday night, the University of Texas won the men's NIT tournament in New York City's Madison Square Garden with a win over the surprising David Lipscomb University team from Nashville. With the win, Texas coach Shaka Smart will probably get to keep his job. The team finished with a disappointing regular season and was 8-10 in Big 12 play this year. However, the team did roll off five straight wins in the NIT and finished the year at 21-16. Coach Smart's contract was extended last year and calls for him to be paid about $3 million a year through the year 2023. And speaking of Texas basketball coaches, the Texas A&M Aggies have signed Virginia Tech's coach, Buzz Williams, to become their new men's basketball coach. Buzz Williams led the Hokies to four straight 20-win seasons and took this year's team into the Final 16 and a 26-9 overall record. Buzz had been an assistant coach at A&M about 15 years ago. The Aggies finished this year with a disappointing 14-18 record and fired coach Billy Kennedy after the season. Buzz Williams will be happy to receive his new agreement worth $3.8 million a year to coach basketball at Aggieland. Speaking of basketball, moving to Baton Rouge, Skylar Mays, the Baton Rouge native who helped lead LSU's basketball team to the Sweet 16 last weekend, has declared he wants to enter the NBA draft. That's right, on Friday, the junior at LSU becomes the third basketball player to declare eligible for this year's NBA draft, joining sophomore guard Tremont Waters and freshman big man Naz Reid. Both have already hired agents, those two guys. Skylar Mays, you might remember, is a pre-med major at LSU. He has a 4.1 grade point average, and he plans to enter the medical field just like his dad. He was also named the SEC Scholar Athlete of the Year by the league's coaches and was a second-team player on the All-Conference team. So, let's get this right. Now LSU's best three players are all leaving, and the LSU basketball coach is still suspended, and we haven't heard from him in weeks after potentially caught in a wiretap involving a possible illegal payoff of the family of an LSU freshman guard, Javonte Smart. This isn't looking good for basketball in Baton Rouge anytime soon, is it? Turn out the lights, the party's over. Speaking of LSU, Michigan State's chance of winning the NCAA tournament this weekend increased after defeating LSU last weekend. Well, why, you ask? I'm glad you asked. Seven previous teams which have defeated LSU in the NCAA basketball tournament have gone on to win it all. It's true. Indiana in 1953 after they beat LSU in the Final Four semifinal. Michigan State in 1979 after beating LSU in the Sweet 16. Louisville back in 1980 after beating LSU in the Elite Eight. Indiana again in 1981 after a win over LSU in the Final Four. Louisville in 1986 after a win over LSU in the Final Four. Indiana yet again for the third time in 1987 after a win over LSU in the Elite Eight. And North Carolina back in 2009 after a win over the Tigers in the second round. The moral of the story, if you eliminate LSU, you're probably going to win the national championship. And speaking of Michigan State, the Michigan State pep band will be at the Final Four this weekend. That's the good news. The bad news? They're just going to have to go via bus. Michigan State's pep band and their cheer team have to make a 10-hour bus ride to Minneapolis this weekend for the Final Four via a chartered bus because Michigan State's chartered jet has suddenly become too crowded with, quote, additional athletic department and basketball program staff, university trustees, and other dignitaries. The Spartan Brass Band and the cheer team have been on the team's chartered flights on the previous two stops in the NCAA tournament back in Des Moines, Iowa and Washington, D.C. There are 43 members of the band and cheer team traveling party. Well, the NCAA typically pays for a chartered plane for trips of more than 350 miles to national championship venues for up to 100 people in the official travel party, including the meals and hotels for that their travel party. The benevolent university has said that they are paying for the bus for the pep band and their cheer team, and thus far the university, though, has not been willing to provide the names of the parties who bumped the band and the cheer team off the plane this weekend. Let's move over to football. In Canada this week, the sanctioning body of football approved a change where kids under the age of 12 will not be permitted to play tackle football due to player safety concerns. Previously in Canada, the kids under the age of 8 were not allowed to play tackle football. Meanwhile, the NFL is reporting this week that reported concussions during regular season games this year decreased by 25% in 2018 from 2017's numbers. Now, that drop in concussions came after the NFL's chief medical officer said that the league had to have a, quote, intervention with seven of the NFL teams regarding their prevalence of having practiced concussions in 2017. Now, that report did not identify the seven guilty teams. The NFL also announced that the total number of concussions during preseason games and practices dropped from 91 a year ago to just 79 in 2018. That's a 13% improvement, and that's good. The NFL also instituted rules regarding players lowering their helmets to initiate contact during last year. After many flags were thrown in the preseason, the NFL clarified the rule and the number of flags for hits in the head during the regular season did drop quite a bit. For my two cents, Swamp Swami says the NFL needs to adopt the rules in college football and toss the offending party who leads with his head out of the game and suspend that knucklehead for the next game too. The dearly departed AAF, the American Alliance of Football, shut down earlier this week. But NFL teams are now wading into the AAF talent pool to find new players. On Friday, the Cleveland Browns have signed former Orlando Apollos quarterback Garrett Gilbert. Gilbert, who played college first at the University of Texas and then finished up at SMU, marks the sixth AAF player this week to sign a contract to play football in the NFL. Speaking of NFL, Kelly Stafford, the wife of Detroit Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford, revealed this week that she has been diagnosed with a brain tumor that requires surgery. Kelly Stafford said that she began experiencing dizziness and vertigo back in January, and it kept happening. After several more spells of vertigo, the Lions team doctor recommend that she get an MRI, which has revealed a benign tumor resting on her cranial nerves. Surgery has been recommended and will be performed in the next few weeks. Matthew and Kelly Stafford began dating as undergraduate students at the University of Georgia and were wed in 2015. They have three young daughters, so please say a prayer for Kelly Stafford's successful surgery and recovery. And finally, it's WrestleMania weekend! Among this weekend's participants will be the Saturday Night Live Weekend Update guys. I'm serious. As they get a shot at the WWE's 7-foot big man, Braun Strowman. That match could add new meaning to the media phrase, tossing it to your co-host. Well, that's it for this week. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the basketball, and I'll see you next week.
The Masters is coming next weekend.